This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
We have Morgan Sword, the Major League Baseball Vice President of Baseball Operations, who joins us. That's a very fancy title, Morgan. Thanks for joining us. Let's look at what's happening so far in spring training. How does baseball look at some of these results, some of these calls, and certainly the controversial one we had over the weekend?
Yeah, we're thrilled so far. I think we played about 50 games in spring training, and games are down about 23 minutes with more offense. And, you know, the reports coming out of camps, I was in Arizona this weekend, are really positive. I think we're just kind of getting through the first couple of days of what's going to be an adjustment period for everybody. You know, there's some routines that need to change and a lot we need to do to get ready for opening day, but early returns are great.
Are we going to see a clock in every stadium so we can follow along with the pitcher, how long he needs to take, and then the hitter to get in the box and, you know, be alert with the pitcher?
You will. Yeah. There'll be five timers in each major league ballpark that the fans in the stadium will be able to see. And then the broadcast is going to show the timer on this part of the scoreboard.
All right. Explain to me from the hitter's perspective when the clock starts.
Sure. So it's a clock that's counting down, and where it counts down from depends on whether you're coming out of an inning break or a prior pitch or a different plate appearance. But in normal circumstances, let's say within a plate appearance with nobody on base, that clock's going to start at 15 when the pitcher catches the ball back from the catcher and count down. And by the time the timer gets to 8, the hitter needs to be in the box and what we call alert to the pitcher, basically eyes on the pitcher. And then the pitcher needs to begin his motion by 0.
But I'm watching this play that happened over the weekend. The catcher is not even in his crouch. He's standing up, and the hitter is maybe not fully addressing the pitcher. He's looking down.
Yep.
The pitcher couldn't have thrown that ball. I mean, doesn't the catcher have to be down in his stand? Did they miss this call?
No, they made the correct call. Okay. The catcher has to be in the box, in the what's called the catcher's box, that slot behind home plate where he was. And he does not have to be crouched. But I think that was a transitional confusion for some of the players. But I think we've cleared it up that hitter's got to be in the box looking at the pitcher with 8, and then we can go anytime after that.
What are you hearing? What are some of the negatives so far?
You know, I think that, there's a big group of players, coaches, umpires that are learning a new thing. And, you know, all of these folks got to the big leagues under one set of rules, and this is a change. There's a big group, obviously, that has some experience with it in the minor leagues, and a big group who works fast enough where no adjustment is required. But you probably know the names. We've got some guys that are going to need to make adjustments and change their routines. And they're doing it. You know, honestly, I got to tell you, I was watching games this weekend, and it is pretty crazy to watch big leaguers who have been doing something one way for 15 or 20 years, just on a dime, you know, change their habits. And it's delivering a much more entertaining, well-paced game. And, you know, we played a game yesterday, I think it had 18 runs in it. 2 hours and 58 minutes. And, you know, and you look around the ballpark, the fans are there. It's packed at the end of the game because, you know, we're hitting something a little closer to what fans want on the game time.
Is this the Nomar Garcia power rule?
Yeah, I don't know that a lot of our younger fans would understand that reference, but he certainly is a he's a poster child for some of what we're cleaning up.
And I, you know what, I wanted to come up with this. We're talking to Morgan Sword. He's MLB Executive Vice President of Baseball Operations. How about a batting glove where you don't adjust? You can't adjust it. Like, it doesn't have that strap. You're just locked in because it feels like these guys, you know, got a nervous twitch there and trying to get him in the batter's box, which I'm fine with. Like, I never knew why we gave them so much airtime, where you got to look down, adjust, look, you know, adjust your cup, and you're ready to go.
Yeah. Well, it's obviously not a new issue trying to, you know, move the pace of baseball games along, but, I think this is a first step into actual competitive penalties for not taking, for moving too slowly. And it's amazing how quickly it works, right? I mean, in our old systems of sending people letters or asking nicely to play quicker, wasn't quite as effective.
All right. I look at baseball as they're at a crossroads right now. We're looking at every other sport and what they're doing and, how long it takes to play again, all of this stuff. But, no shifts now. More offense. Who came up with the idea of the bases being larger?
Yeah, that's something we've been testing for a couple of years in the minor leagues. It's primarily to address an injury issue, to try to create some more space around the bases so that we reduce collisions and ankles getting that stepped on, that kind of thing. And the players are frankly just a lot bigger today than they were back when we picked 15 inches for the bases. And in the minor leagues, that works. You know, injuries were down pretty significantly, but it does have the effect of making the bases slightly closer to one another. So, on the margin this year, you may see a couple more ground balls become infield hits, a couple more stolen base attempts become successful because the base runners got just a little bit of an advantage there.
Could I get one of the old bases, Morgan? Can I put it in the man cave?
No, but we've got lots of them. Yeah, you're welcome to have one.
I'll come down with a U-Haul and just pick up some bases. Also, explain the pickoff move so people are not surprised come opening day when they're like, wait a minute, what's going on here?
Sure, yeah. So we've had a pitch timer in the minor leagues for 5 or 6 years, and prior versions of it ultimately were ineffective because the pitchers figured out that you could step off the rubber to reset the timer. And that's the way it used to work, right? That anytime you step off, reset. And the result was games didn't get any shorter, and we didn't improve the pace, and we didn't sort of deliver the kind of game that fans are asking for. So this newer version of it limits the number of times a pitcher can do that. So he can step off twice with runners on base without penalty, and he can use that step off to attempt a pickoff. He can just step off and take a breath, or whatever he wants. If on the third step off, if you don't record an out, if you don't pick somebody off, a balk is called, and each base runner advances one base. And in the minor leagues, again, that was a very effective change. I think it closed a big loophole that existed in the regulations, but also it encourages the running game and it delivers an increase in stolen base attempts, which that's probably the play that fans tell us they want to see more of most often in baseball.
Any other rule changes we need to be aware of?
Those are the big ones for 2023. And then this is a lot of change for a sport that doesn't often make a lot of change. So, we've been working hard on this, and we're really excited about it.
But you also have last year at spring training where you had, the electronic signals or the correspondence between pitcher and catcher. That went pretty smooth, Morgan. I thought maybe we were going to have some kind of espionage, somebody's, going to tap into, your signals there. Any complaints about that from last year?
I got to tell you, the PitchCom system has been an incredible tool for us, and particularly as this pitch timer is going in. I mean, you think about now with runner on second base not needing multiple signs and complicated sign systems and enabling a much quicker communication of the pitch has been awesome. And we're actually this spring allowing our pitchers to where the transmitter, which actually they can call their own pitches back to the catcher. And that's been surprisingly popular. I would have thought there wouldn't be that many pitchers interested in that, but we got quite a few guys either wearing it on the back of their glove or on their belt, where they can actually say as they're walking back up to the mound, all right, you know, I'm going four seamer here. And that on its own has sped up the game.
Okay. I do have a problem with this. And I'm a get off my lawn guy. I'm going to let you know. Respectfully, I bring this up. Why do we allow umpires to have their own interpretation of a strike zone? Why don't we just have a strike zone, Morgan?
Oh, you mean why don't we have like an automated strike zone?
Well, a universal, you know, somebody will give you the corners. Somebody gives you the high strike. Somebody, like, why? Why don't we just have a strike zone?
Well, I mean, I'll tell you, we kind of on that metric are the best that baseball's ever been in its history in terms of the consistency and the adherence to, you know, the rule book zone. You know, our umpires are sort of more accurate every single year than they've ever been. However, you know, I think the human being calling balls and strikes back there has been part of the game for 150 years. And you know, our recent testing of more automated forms of balls and strikes in the minor leagues has generated some interesting discussion about, you know, the role of the human umpire in calling balls and strikes. And honestly, what we've heard from a lot of players and coaches is, slow down here, guys. Like, we like having an umpire back there. Like, this is not an area where we need to, we need to jump to and have technology introduced. So,
well, I can have the umpire there, though.
Yeah.
But I can help him frame a strike zone. Why is it when I was in Little League, it was armpits to the knees, and that's why I struck out so much?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you've ever stood back there and watched Major League pitching, but what we ask these guys to do in terms of, you know, calling these pitches that are over 100 miles an hour with movement against a zone that they can't see, is on the border of human capability. I mean, it is so unbelievably difficult, and it's remarkable that they're as good at it as they are. And every year we seek to get a little better, and you know, they work hard at it. It matters a lot to them, and you know, I think we're going to keep at it.
You're toeing the company line. You did well there. you shook me off there a little bit, but that's okay. I'll get you the next time. Morgan, thanks for joining us, and we appreciate your time. Good luck this spring training.
All right, Dan. Thanks, man.
That's Morgan Sword. He's the MLB Executive Vice President, Baseball Operations. And don't get me started on that runner on second base to start extra innings. Ugh. Put him on third. I don't care. Like, what are we doing? Plus, you can speed up a game, but did you make the game better? That's all I want to know. You're speeding it up. I do think that the hitter's, you know, taking forever. Because if I'm a hitter, I get my airtime. I get four at-bats, and I'm on camera. I get it. Hey, did you see me? I had my Nike gloves on there. Hey, did you see the shoes I had on there? You know, I understand that. But just get them in. Let's play. And the pitcher, pitch. Let's go. I'm all for those things. The Dodger manager, I hope, will join us coming up. I don't know. Is Dave going to join us today, or is it going to be sometime this week?
He may join us in the final hour or perhaps tomorrow.
All right. So Dave Roberts, I know we were in contact with him last night. Get his thoughts on how you manage, or, you know, trying to get your players to understand how long is 8 seconds to get in there, and you have to be alert and look at the pitcher. Because that was the problem with the call that happened this weekend. The batter wasn't alert looking at the pitcher. All right. If I'm baseball, any publicity is good publicity. People are talking about this sport. Yes, you.
So far, though, aside from that one moment in that one game,
yeah,
it seems to be a huge success.
Yeah. If you give me offense, I don't need all strikeouts and all home runs. And if we have movement, then that's great. Baseball used to be that way. Then baseball became an all or nothing. And I think that's where, you know, people lost interest in that. You didn't have to watch a game. All you had to do is watch the highlights. And you would see three or four home runs and somebody maybe, you know, striking out three guys with 100-mile-an-hour fastballs. That's about it. But it used to be there was movement there. Yes, Eden.
Because there are times that, say, like at a minor league baseball game that I've been to where you're sitting there and all of a sudden you're like, dang, it's the sixth inning? No kidding. Because it's flying by. And you're like, whoa, we better go grab another beer, you know?
If there's action in it,
yeah,
that's what's great. I always go back to when somebody says, oh, that movie, how long is it? 3 hours. 3 hours. And then you watch it and you go, wow, man, that didn't feel like 3 hours. And then you watch something that's 2 hours and you go, how much more time do I got here? I want content in there. I want movement. Mm-hmm. I want strategy. I don't, you know, the strategy is throw it as hard as you can and I'm going to swing as hard as I can. That's not strategy. I don't even need a manager for that. Yeah, Pauline.
I have a semi-serious baseball beer-related question. So let's say a game finishes 25 minutes quicker in baseball this year, and beer sales usually end at the end of the seventh inning in most places, right?
Sixth or seventh,
Six or seventh. Okay.
Yeah.
Would you push back beer sales to a time period? So beers are for sale for 2 hours, right? And after 2 hours, they're gone, no matter what inning it is, because now you could still sell beer at the normal time you had before. That's a big concern when you go to the game.
But do I want to punish the fans because let's say it's 2 hours and it's the fifth inning?
Right.
Now I'm punishing them to sit through a long game that's probably boring and they can't have beer.
Right. Anything that gives more beer, I'm in favor. We didn't bring that up with Mr. Short.
No, I don't know if he had any jurisdiction over that.
He should.
Morgan, I want to ask you about the beer. You know, how about a two-hour window? How about happy hours? How about we do that? How about first five innings, happy hour? How about that?
You're motivated to get to a game earlier, but beer's cheaper in the first inning.
Yeah, Seton.
There was, you remember when the World Cup was going on and like all hell was breaking loose because there wasn't going to be beer there?
Beer.
And there was this one, everybody was going nuts. What? No beer. Blah, blah. And this one person had tweeted like, I hate to break it to you, but you should be able to watch an entire soccer game without drinking beer. And the like raging alcoholic in me was like, what is wrong with you? How dare you say that? Even though it's true, you should be able to watch a baseball game without drinking any beer. Just the thought was like, how dare you, sir? How dare you?
What are they going to take away? Hot dogs after that? Come on. Cracker Jacks?
I mean, you should be able to go 3 hours without a beer.
What? You should.
How dare you?
I prefer not to. The best shooter in college basketball will join us at the top of the hour. Also, Big Perk, Kendrick Perkins, ESPN NBA analyst. We'll talk some basketball. Dame Lillard goes for 71, the oldest player in history to go for 70 or more, and at the age of 32. And, of course, it came against the Houston Rockets, because if you're going to have a career high, chances are the Houston Rockets are the opposition. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
We know that quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for you and your partner whenever you want. Two beds in one, firmer or softer on each side, you decide. And it helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature as well, quiets their snoring, so you stay sleeping comfortably all night long. Sleep Number does everything. My Sleep Number setting is 75. Sleep Number smart beds learn how you sleep. They provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. You will never need another bed. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Great to be back from vacation, or as the Danettes like to say, load management. Coming up, the best shooter in college basketball. We'll get to phone calls, as we always do, every Monday. Best and worst of the weekend, what you saw that you liked, you didn't like. Also, big perk, Kendrick Perkins from the Mothership will stop by. Had an unbelievable comeback by the Lakers yesterday against the Mavs, and an unbelievable individual performance with Dame Lillard, who went for 71 against the Houston Rockets. Seton, what is the poll question? I don't even know if we addressed that in the first hour of the show.
No, we didn't, Dan, but I could tell you, we put up two, actually, in the first hour.
Okay.
The new MLB rules are off to a great start or a complete disaster.
Okay.
62% right now say it's off to a great start.
Yeah.
I like the positivity.
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
Then I also put up there, would you rather a baseball game be over 2 hours and 50 minutes or under 2 hours and 50 minutes?
All right.
Right now, 88% say under 2 hours and 50 minutes.
Yeah. And if they could get in the ballpark of 2 hours, 2.5 hours, then I'm fine with that. I remember when Greg Maddux used to pitch. It'd be a little over 2 hours. Mark Burley, they would be, let's go. Get in there. Get in the batter's box.
Shout out to efficiency.
Yeah. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @DPShow. Say good morning to those watching on Peacock. That's our streaming partner. Download the app. And also iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, nearly 400 cities around America that carry this program. I mentioned coming up, the best shooter in college basketball. It's Caitlin Clark, Iowa basketball junior guard. Hit the game winner against Indiana, and Indiana number two in the nation. You got the Big Ten tournament coming up. And Caitlin Clark joins us on loan from Iowa. All right, Caitlin, take me into the huddle. Final plays drawn up. Less than 2 seconds to go. What was said?
Honestly, we were kind of looking to get the ball for a layup at the rim. We kind of ran a play. We thought the four player would switch out and they would double team me, which they didn't end up doing. They kind of put the person that was guarding the inbounder in the middle of the lane. So that wasn't open. And I was the second option for the three. And lucky enough, I thought our post player, Monica Sinano, set a really, really good screen, kind of hit the girl and she almost fell over a little bit, which gave me a second to get it off. And, you know, it's a play we practice all the time against our blue squad, which are our managers and practice boys. So, you know, we had been through that situation quite a few times. And, you know, 1.5 seconds was plenty of time for me to get it off.
When was the last time you didn't have a green light in a game to shoot whenever you wanted to?
Honestly, you know, I'm lucky enough to play for a coach that, you know, has kind of given me the keys to the offense since I got here. You know, we had a point guard that had graduated right before I came to campus and went to the WNBA. So, you know, that's one of the reasons I came here.
Go back to grade school, Caitlin. When's the first time you were allowed to shoot whenever you wanted to?
Oh, man. Honestly, probably as long as I can remember. You know, I kind of always was a little more gifted on the offensive end. You know, I grew up watching the game. I had an older brother that played basketball. So I always tagged around with a lot of boys. And I think, you know, that kind of helped me like develop my offensive skill set at a younger age, a little faster than most people would. And then when I made that transition from boys basketball to girls basketball, I was, you know, already kind of a step ahead. And, you know, I always had the will to want to be better. You know, and I played up usually throughout AAU. Like when I was in eighth grade, I was playing with like 10th graders, 11th graders. So, you know, it kind of was an easy transition for me in high school and college because I've already played against those girls that are quite a bit older than me.
When did you first notice the way Steph Curry played and what impact has that had on you?
I think I started really watching the NBA probably like really closely eighth grade or in high school, you know, and I loved always having it on. And I think Steph Curry, I mean, he's the most exciting player in all of basketball, men's, women's, college, pros, whatever it is. And I don't know, I just think, you know, what I love about it, I think, you know, it says how exciting women's basketball can be. You don't see Steph Curry dunking the basketball every single night. It's the way he shoots the basketball, and women can do that too. So I think when people understand that, they can understand how good the women's game is, because the players in the women's game are very, very skilled, just like Steph is. But the way he shoots the ball, gets into it with the crowd, you know, those are a lot of the things that I love to do too.
How would you do shooting threes?
Oh, I would lose for Steph. Come on.
But you would love the challenge.
Oh, absolutely. I would totally sign up to lose to him. Who wouldn't?
If he came to Iowa, like, you know, home court advantage.
Oh, I might make one or two on him, but I mean, he's too consistent.
No. You guys are just shooting the racks.
Oh, on my home court, I'd be able to keep it hopefully a little closer. But I mean,
I think you're being humble. I think if he came to Iowa and you're there home court and the fans are there,
you think I got a chance?
You're the best shooter in college basketball right now, you know, men or women. But I'm curious, have you ever been yelled at for shooting too far out?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, you have? Okay.
Oh, yeah. I think, you know, Coach Bluter's obviously given me a green light, and she knows those are shots I can make, and those are shots that I practice. And I think, you know, when she understands that, you know, that's why she allows me to take them. But I think, you know, learning time and score, when we need them, when we don't. And, you know, just going back and watching film, those are, you know, I usually go back and watch it with her, and we talk about usually every shot I take, good or bad, make or miss. So, you know, there are some that we could probably get rid of at times. But when you've made a couple, you get a couple heat checks, and she definitely allows that, which is pretty fun, too.
How important was the Chiefs Super Bowl victory?
Oh, that was awesome. I'm a huge Chiefs fan. I actually went to the game on Christmas Eve with my family versus the Seahawks at Arrowhead, which was pretty fun. Pretty fun Christmas gift. They got it done. It was a freezing one, but it was super fun.
Have you met Mahomes?
I didn't meet Mahomes. He ran like right past me, but I saw he tweeted about me yesterday. And he's reached out to me like and DM'd me a couple times just saying how fun I am to watch. And but I mean, come on, he's like the most exciting football player maybe ever. So maybe there's a little comparison between me and him and what we do. A little unorthodox.
Yeah. That you're entertainers. How's that?
That's fair. That's fair.
Okay, but do you hear like LeBron or Kevin Durant? Did Kevin Durant reach out to you?
Yeah, I think maybe my freshman and my sophomore year. I know definitely last year.
Isn't that wild? Like you're going, wait, who's watching?
I know, it's pretty crazy. Because those are the people like I idolized and grew up watching. And to see them comment about your game or know that they were watching you and your team, it's pretty crazy. It makes you kind of take a step back and love it for a second.
How important is the WNBA to you?
Very important. That's where I want to be. But, you know, I have another year here and possibly one more after that just because of COVID. So probably we'll have to make a decision on that sometime next year. I really have no clue if what I'm going to do is stay for an extra year or leave after next year. But, you know, I love watching the WNBA. I remember really vividly my dad taking me to my first ever WNBA game. Maya Moore was my favorite player growing up. She played for the Minnesota Lynx. So it was pretty convenient. That was only a 4-hour trip from, you know, where I grew up. And I really remember, you know, getting to watch her versus Sue Bird and the Seattle Storm. And that was like my first ever experience with the WNBA when I was really young.
Would you take a pay cut, though, if you go to the WNBA?
Not necessarily. I think that's what gets lost sometimes. I think people don't understand, you know, NIL, like, is still kind of a thing when you get into, you know, pro sports too. Like, you still have all those endorsements. You still have, you know, the sponsorships and whatnot. So you're basically just a professional athlete with that on top of it too, you know, which was, so it's not really something that I would factor into my decision of staying or going too much.
When's the last time a professor asked for an autograph?
Oh, professor. I don't know about an autograph, but they definitely do love to say stuff to me in class, which is fun. You know, having professors that, you know, watch you and understand the game is always very nice.
Well, congratulations so far. What classes do you have today?
Oh, actually, Mondays are my day with no class, which is really nice. Mm. But tomorrow I got financial management and marketing research. So you know, got it loaded up on Tuesdays.
Wait, that is that one class that you have on Tuesday?
I have two, but I take some online too. I take four classes.
Oh, come on.
Hey, I'm getting close to getting my degree, so.
But you would seriously consider staying two more years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I think I just like love this place. I love getting to play in front of a sold out crowd every single night. I don't know. I love college basketball. I don't know. It would be hard to leave. I think what we've been able to build has been super special too. But more than anything, I love this program. I love getting to play for Coach Bluder. I love getting to play with my best friends, you know, and they're not only my teammates, but I hang out with them every second off the court. Mm-hmm. And you know, it'd be really hard to leave that. Especially, when you can go to the WNBA even the year after that. But yeah, I mean, there's pros and cons to both sides. And I think, it's been hard for a lot of college athletes to decide what to do, just because, there are pros of staying in college, but also, your dream of reaching the next level is right there as well.
Yeah. But there's gotta be a couple of players going, God, I hope that she doesn't stay an extra year so we can get some shots here.
Yeah. I think that's definitely a fair assessment. And, we've had a couple players come back for like even their sixth year due to like injuries and things like that. So yeah. I think it's been a whole different dynamic that, players have had to go through, but also coaches, the uncertainty of your roster and spots and who to recruit. Like it's been challenging and difficult. And then the transfer portal is a whole nother thing on top of that, that you're having to balance. So it's really added a whole nother element of, college basketball and, what it already is. So it's been kind of crazy to navigate.
A lot of fun. A lot of fun to watch and continue to be unorthodox. Continue to be Patrick Mahomes. And thank you. Good luck in the Big Ten.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on. Good talking with you.
That's Caitlin Clark, best shooter in college basketball. This is how it sounded yesterday. Game winner against the second-rated Indiana Hoosiers.
Clark comes off the screen. She's got a look. Fires it. Go! Clark,
oh my
God! For three!
Oh my God! Oh,
oh
my God!
What a finish!
Oh my God!
Wow. And I wasn't watching, and Paulie goes, turn on ABC or ESPN, and I'm like, what am I? And then all of a sudden I realized it was Caitlin Clark, and the game's on the line, needed to hit a three, and ended up beating Indiana. And Indiana might be a Final Four team this year. Been a really great story. I just can't let the best player in college basketball have her hands on the ball. I know she's a decoy, but I'm okay with that. I if somebody else wants to take that shot, I'm okay with that. I can't let the best player. Now, it's credit to her. I can't let her go right. She's got 1.5 seconds, and I got to have help. And that's the first thing I notice. It's like, how do you let her get the shot up? Very difficult shot.
I love how upset you've been about this stuff.
I do.
You're like, that Indiana defense was terrible there.
I said, you got to flash. I got to make her try to reset, gather. She doesn't have enough time. And then I go, oh, my God. So everybody was focusing on, this incredible shot. And I'm looking at, I can never let the best player. Never. Not in basketball. Can't have the ball. Not going to let you have it. Yes, Mark.
I think Caitlin made a really good point about being a big star and playing in front of sold-out arenas,
yeah,
and then getting drafted to the Utah Stars where you play in front of, 2,000 people.
I don't need if we need to go there. I mean, just, hey, she gets to play in a great atmosphere.
No disrespect to the Utah Stars.
Of course. Yes, Molly.
But it's fascinating. You got the COVID year that everyone was gifted a free year of college if they want it, eligibility, that I forgot that she even had. And then you throw an NIL. She's not going to be making less next year with NIL. She'll be making more.
Can you imagine those Big Ten coaches going, wait, she said, what about coming back for another year?
I wish Tebow had this. He'd still be in Florida. He should have never left.
Yeah, like you're the guard that's waiting to come up under her. Yeah. You're like, I thought for sure she'd be gone by now.
I'm going to get my touches now.
Transfer portal.
Hey, Caitlin. Good to see you.
Are you a doctor? How many years are you going to be here?
Going to get tenure. Gus in L.A. leads us off. Hi, Gus. What's on your mind today?
Good morning, Mr. Patrick. Hope you and the boys had a great vacation. Welcome back. Best of the weekend. There's going to be no worst. You boys are back in town, so let's do it. So best of the weekend. You boys know I'm coming with my Lakers. three straight.
Yeah.
Four and one since the trade deadline.
Yeah.
That's right. A 27-point comeback. That's pretty good. Another little bonus, best basketball team of Los Angeles, which is the LA Clippers, scored 175 points on Friday night.
And losing.
I love it. Hysterical. And another one is this time clock. I love that it's going to create chaos. It's going to create so much. Well, this did no, the clock was mismanaged, this and that. Oh, my God, I can't wait for it. You boys have a great week.
Thank you, Gus. Good to talk to you. Barry in Santa Fe. Barry, best and worst of the weekend.
Good morning, fellas. Good morning, chat row. I have a best of the weekend and the best of your week off. Okay. Best of the weekend, baseball is back. I'm liking the pitch clock and the no shift. Runners are going from first to third. All-time baseball. Best of the week off. 10 Elvis Costello shows in 14 nights in New York City. Night 10, I'm leaving the theater. Out of the corner of my eye, who do I see? One, Mr. Dan Patrick.
Yeah, yeah.
I excused myself. I introduced myself. And Dan and I had a nice chat for about 10 minutes or so.
Yep.
It was the highlight of a great week.
It was great to see you, Barry. Thanks for joining us. I had sent a picture to the Danettes that I was at Gramercy Theater in New York seeing Elvis Costello. And then Seton goes, Barry from Santa Fe is at the show. And I go,
yeah,
I'm not going to see Barry in Santa Fe. We're after the show, we're downstairs having a beer. And all of a sudden, Barry walks up to me, goes, hey, Barry from Santa Fe. And I go, of course you are. Of course,
right?
You are.
Yeah.
The show was wonderful. But have you ever gone to a show and it's too long?
Yep.
But, he played all of his hits. Elvis Costello did. And at one point, my wife fell asleep. And it was 3.5 hours.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. He kept playing. And then he goes, one more song. And then one more song.
And he's playing like 10 straight nights?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And he was playing a wide variety of things. And he had a great band with him. And every time I'd see a guitar come out, like the guitar tech would put out a guitar, like it's the on-deck circle. And I go, hun, he's got one more song.
He's got another one.
I can't last. I can't stay up. I said, it's okay. And then at the very end, then he did like Pump It Up and Allison and what else? Watching the Detectives.
Ooh, great. Peace, Love, and Understanding?
Yeah. What's so funny about Peace, Love, and Understanding? Yes, Marv.
How long do you want a concert to be?
I like about a 2 hour. You know, I like my concerts. I like my baseball. You know, about two hours, 2:15. You know, maybe we put performers on the clock there. Although I did see Springsteen do 4 hours one night, and
too long
it was, because he did his preacher thing, and I'm not into the preacher thing when he does that. When he does the gospel according to. I just want to hear the songs, but yeah, 4 hours. Gave your money's worth there. Yeah, Mark.
How long is the Taylor Swift concert?
How long? I don't know. Two plus?
We'll find out when
we go. I will say this. Not long enough.
There you go.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's the answer the Swifties like.
Yeah. I got a blank space, and I'll write your name. We ready to take a break?
I mean, if you want.
We don't have to.
We don't have to. It's your show, your rules.
I think I'm still working on this 4-day, maybe 4-hour radio show. You know, I'm thinking. I don't know. But I'd have to talk to management first, okay? I'd have to talk to them because they'd probably go, That factors into the lineup you have with the other radio stations. And then maybe we do 3 hours, a bonus hour. Maybe we just do that on its own. We work 4 workdays. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Everybody. I got Weeks, my camera, everybody is.
I don't know anybody alive that would be like, I like the 5th day. Let's just keep going the 5th day.
I love the grind.
Yeah.
I love doing it every day. because
well,
I care
on Saturday, Finn.
I care about this audience, and you guys don't.
Correct.
I gotta take a break here. We're back up to this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
This is Steve Covino.
And Rich Davis.
And together, we are Covino and Rich.
Covino and Rich.
Thanks, buddy. That's right, Covino and Rich, Fox Sports Radio's newest hit show. Heard weekdays from 5 to 7 Eastern, 2 to 4 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Every Covino and Rich show is available as a podcast. Just search Covino and Rich wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe.
I'm such a rockin' dude.
The show features our unique take on sports, injected with some fun, humor, and relatability.
Listen to Covino and Rich 5 days a week on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Covino and Rich, give me a hell yeah!
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win, but that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up and you say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
You've probably put this off long enough. It's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has the tires that will elevate your game. Touring tires for commuting comfort. How about performance tires for sporty handling? All terrain if you're going on and off-road adventuring. Go to TireRack.com and get started. You're not sure where to begin? I suggest the easy-to-use tire decision guide. Get a personalized tire recommendation, the right tires for how and what and where you drive. Choose from the full lineup of Kumho tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you. Or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They bring the tires to your home or office and install them on site. Go to TireRack.com/Dan to see their Kumho test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews. And be sure to check out all the current special offers. Great tires and a great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Dan. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. Fritzy just informed me that Dodger manager Dave Roberts will join us on the program. We are coming up to the annual prediction Dave Roberts usually makes on this show. Like last year, the guarantee they were going to win the World Series. Do you think Dave guarantees the Dodgers will win the World Series this year? Yeah,
Paul. We may have to go back to that because I think you said you plan on winning World Series this year? And he goes, yeah. It was like a casual yeah, but it was made out to be that he made this declaration and
pounded. You know what? I'll go back and I'll find it and I'll play it for him, yeah. And then we'll follow up with expectations this year.
I would hate if the Dodger manager with their roster didn't say, yeah, we're going to World Series.
Yes. I don't have any problem with it.
Yeah, it's going to be tough.
And then people...
it's going to be tough.
Yeah, have you seen the Astros? We got no shot. Yeah, so I'll ask him. Let's see if he wants to make a prediction there. Let's see. What else do we have here? Al in Atlanta. Hi, Al. What's on your mind today?
Good morning, Dan. Nice to have you guys back. It's been a lonely 9 to 12 for the last week, but we got through it.
All right.
Best and worst of the weekend. Best of the weekend. MLS soccer is back. Atlanta United got a win. Baseball's back. And these new rules, they don't seem like they're harming anything. Able to watch a game on tape in less than 2 hours, fast-forwarding through commercials. It was great. Worst of the weekend dates all the way back to the Super Bowl because it took me 2 weeks to realize I got bamboozled by my 12-year-old nephew. Here's the story. The Chiefs are my hometown or birth town team. The Eagles are his birth town team. We had a pride wager where if the Chiefs won, he had to take a shower of shame in an Eagles jersey where he dumped Kansas City-style barbecue sauce on his head. If the Chiefs won, I had to buy him a $99 shark card for GTA. Lo and behold, 2 weeks later, I find out he doesn't fit into any of his Eagles jerseys anymore because he's outgrown them, so I got to buy him an Eagles jersey. So either way, he was getting money out of me, whether he wins or loses.
Poor Al. You know, it just never goes right for Al in Atlanta. Kendrick Perkins, Big Perk, ESPN NBA analyst, and won a championship with the 08 Boston Celtics. He's got a new book. Kendrick Perkins shares a different side of himself, powerful experiences, certainly go beyond basketball, the reality of being black in America. The Education of Kendrick Perkins, a memoir now available online, wherever books are sold. Big Perk, good to talk to you again. Let me start with Damian Lillard. When as a teammate do you know when somebody is in the zone?
Probably after the first 20 points and they see how efficient he is. You know, but you could see it. You could see it from the jump. And usually, as a guy that played with 11 or 12 Hall of Famers, you could tell when they have it on their mind. And you could tell when it's, you know, give them the basketball and get the hell out of the way. That was one of them moments.
What was the moment that you had where somebody had that Damian Lillard night?
Well, you know what? I witnessed KD go off so many times. I remember in the Western Conference Finals against the Spurs, I believe it was game 6, I believe it was, he went crazy. I also witnessed Paul Pierce have those moments as well. I remember game 7, 2008 of the semifinals, he went crazy. And I watched LeBron do the same thing. So it was those times, man, where it was just like, you know, where I saw Kevin Durant had 40 points and Russell Westbrook, I believe, had a 40-point triple-double in the same game, you know. And it was just those moments like when you look and say, you know what, these are the reason that these guys get paid the big bucks.
Who do you got a beef with still that you played against?
Nobody. You know, I'm a changed man since I retired, right? So it's funny because – so many guys that I had beef with on the floor. It's like when you retire, you grow up, and all of a sudden you see them. It's like, man, I love playing against you. And you're like, okay, I love playing against you as well. So it's not even beef. I'm going to tell you this. This is a funny story. Richard Jefferson and I actually hated each other on the floor. Hated. And all of a sudden now, since we didn't start working in the same space for us in the media and working on shows together, our relationship has grown so close. I talk to Richard more than I talk to anybody else I didn't ever play with or any of my friends. And it's just weird when you just had a connection when it's life after basketball, when you finish competing in between those lines.
Who did you, like, what was the beef over?
We don't even know. That's the crazy part, right? We don't even know. And I think it all stemmed from, like, him and KG, and he was just like, you know what? I really just don't like none of those guys. And he just had this beef with me, and I could kind of tell. And it was just, the feelings were mutual.
Why'd the Celtics only win one title?
Because we weren't healthy. That's the only reason. KG missed 2008, 2009 season. I got hurt in 2010. When healthy, our starting five never lost a playoff series. When healthy. That's the only reason, because of him.
You know, when you look back on what LeBron is going to mean to the game with the all-time leading score, and he's going to be top five in assist. I mean, you know, the numbers there, Perk. I've said before, LeBron, to me, will have the greatest career of anybody. And I don't want to get in, you know, comparing Mike to LeBron. You know, if I had one game to win, I would take Mike. But if you look at the totality of a career, LeBron's resume is going to be the greatest resume in pro basketball history.
Well, I mean, first of all, Dan, it's, you know, I'm tired of talking about the GOAT conversation. To me, it's all about your preference, okay? Like, you know, some people like to drink Hennessy and other people like to drink Ciroc. At the end of the day, it's still going to get you feeling a certain type of way. My thing is, when it comes down to LeBron, I agree with you on the greatest career. His career, far as his resume, is longer than a holiday weekend. I was able to witness, okay, I was able to witness since the age of 13 years old, playing against him in AAU, playing with him in AAU. I was able to witness the buildup to his greatness, meaning I watched him as a 15, 16-year-old go to media training. I watched him while everybody in between games at AAU tournaments was eating McDonald's and he was eating fruit and drinking water. So I watched him get labeled the chosen one. I watched him get called King James. And I'll also say this, when it comes down to pressure is no athlete in sports history, forget just basketball, that was under the pressure of LeBron James and has exceeded expectations. Not one. Not coming out of high school, first ESPN game, you know, the buildup around it, you know, everything and more. And he has exceeded expectations.
And you were there for peak Kobe. I just love these guys when you see it in their eyes, like, man, I'm going to kill you. Every possession. Did you have interaction with Kobe?
Oh, so many. And, instances that I remember. It's two situations. One in 2010, game 7. I was on the sideline. And what people have to realize is that whoever won the game in that series won the rebounding battle. In game 7, I believe Kobe shot 6 for 24. But what people don't realize is that he had like 15 or 16 rebounds. And you could just see that he had to go in the paint and go grab them boards and he was going to will his team to victory. Then I have another story. You know, I was playing in Oklahoma City and I switched out on Kobe, you know, on the pick and roll. Now, you know, I clapped my hands and I was like, let me see it. And he started, he hit me, you know, with an in and out between the legs cross in a pull-up jumper. And I almost fell. And we was running back down the floor. And he was like, all right, don't make me tear that other ACL.
I like that you were like, come on, bring it on. Like, yeah. That's the last guy, him or Mike. Those are the guys. You don't do that to them.
No, you don't.
No.
You don't.
No.
And, you know, he was the only guy that when we went through shoot around and preparation, it wasn't no, this is the game plan for Kobe. The game plan for the Lakers were let Kobe get his, because we knew he was going to be aggressive and counsel everybody else. That's the game plan when you played the Lakers with a Kobe Bryant.
Kendrick Perkins has a book out. It's a memoir, The Education of Kendrick Perkins, now available online wherever books are sold. Also, part of ESPN's Boston Celtics All Access this Wednesday, wall-to-wall coverage of the team, followed by the Cavs and Celtics at 7:30 Eastern. Wait. You're not doing this with the Lakers? I thought that it's required that you talk about the Lakers every waking hour, Kendrick.
I know, right? You should, hey, Dan, no lie, you should see me in those, you should hear me in those production meetings, man. It gets to the point where it gets exhausted. Okay, I understand if the Lakers actually give us a reason to talk about them, but I tell them every day, maybe let's start off, let's talk about them in the E topic. Like, we don't have to start off every show talking about the Lakers.
But it feels like, you know, Perk, that they'll, SportsCenter would talk more about the Lakers' comeback against the Mavs than what Dame did scoring 71 against the Rockets, right?
Yeah, but I will say this. It's just the effect of LeBron James, though, Dan. That's the thing, right?
Like, yeah.
When LeBron was in Miami, we talked about Miami. Yep. Matter of fact, they had an ESPN in Miami. When LeBron was in Cleveland, they had an ESPN Cleveland. And I always say this, right? It's a difference. They have – so this is the way that I look at it. For example, I look at you, you know, guys that have done this whole media space to the fullest and have been great at it. I look at guys like yourself and Barkley and Stephen A. and, you know, Scott Van Pelt. And I look at y'all and I say, y'all in the group of the powerful group. And then they have a popular group, right, where you could just see them every now and then. You see guys on there like myself who just getting started, J.J. Redick. We're popular now, but we're not powerful yet. See, powerful people moves the needle. And that's when it comes down to us seeing, you know, us talk about the Lakers rather than talk about Damian Lillard, because we're basically talking about LeBron James.
Yeah.
Like, if LeBron James isn't on the Lakers, we don't talk about the Lakers that damn much. Mm-hmm. If Kobe Bryant isn't on the Lakers, we don't talk about the Lakers that damn much. So that's the difference of actually being powerful.
The story that I'm going to take away from this book, The Education of Kendrick Perkins, a memoir. What's the one story that you want us taking away from this?
You know what, Dan, it's two. One, I will, you know, I think every book has a starting point. Like, and I think that's the hard part of actually writing a book, in my opinion, from learning. It was easy for me. I lost my mom when I was 5 years old. She was shot and killed by, quote unquote, one of her best friends. My dad was in New Zealand, never in my life. So I was taken in by my grandparents, my grandmother and my grandfather. My grandmother made $40 to $60 a week as a housekeeper. My grandfather made $350 a month as the janitor at the church. I grew up in the house that my great-grandfather built, where the ceilings was 6'5". So by the time I got into the ninth grade, I couldn't fit in the damn house. And I had to go through so much adversity. I had to learn and search for security at times, because my grandparents did a hell of a job. I loved them to death, but I was still searching for that security, was just wondering, hey, if my mom was living or my dad was in my life, how would things be? And so my wife always tell me now, she's like, you don't really show too much emotions. Like, we'll go to a funeral and she don't never see me cry. And I always tell her, I don't have any more tears to shed, because I've cried myself to sleep so many nights as a young kid. But I also would like people to take away from, especially, see, in the African-American community, you get frowned upon if you tell someone or someone that you're close to, or maybe just friends, right? If you tell them, hey, man, I'm going to counseling, I need help for my mental, you get judged and you get laughed at. So I share in my book about my experience when I was with the Oklahoma City Thunder in the offseason, while I went down to Lawrence, Kansas, and I went to anger management for a month and a half. And I was in a classroom from 8 to 5 in the evening with these high powered doctors that was also in there with me as well, from, you know, getting in trouble in their respective fields, you know, abusing their power. So I'm in there with anesthesiologists, spinal surgeons, you name it. And I learned so much being there, for as just learning how to, you know, let things go, learning how to not put myself in certain positions, learning how to fast forward and think about, should I go to certain things or should I just stay home, so that I could kind of, you know, not say foresee the future, but actually put myself in the right position. And so I share that story, one, because it's my journey, but I also share it to let people know that it's okay to go out there and seek help to protect your mental. So if you having a problem, like, go sit down and talk with somebody. Like, it's crucial. So those are the two messages. And the message as far as how my upbringing is, like, so many people stop when they hit adversity. Well, I've learned I got to figure things out. And I figure things out on the fly. I don't let it stop me in my tracks.
Good to talk to you, Perk. Glad you're doing well. Thank you, and good luck with the book.
Dan, thanks for having me on. I appreciate you, legend.
That is Kendrick Perkins. The book is The Education of Kendrick Perkins, a memoir now available online, wherever books are sold. Also part of ESPN's Boston Celtics All Access. That'll be Wednesday, wall-to-wall coverage of the team, followed by Cavs Celtics, 7:30 Eastern.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The fully electric EQS sedan from Mercedes-Benz is innovation on a magnificent scale. Available with the epic 56-inch touch-sensitive hyperscreen. The vehicle is all electric. The feeling is all Mercedes. Learn more at mbusa.com/EQS.